Have you ever wondered why some students grasp concepts immediately while others struggle despite working twice as hard? The answer lies not in intelligence or effort, but in the fascinating architecture of our brains. Our minds process information through two distinct pathways, one conscious and explicit, the other unconscious and automatic. This dual system approach explains why a student might understand algebra perfectly with examples in front of them, but panic during tests when those examples disappear. The first system relies on working memory, that mental juggler that can only hold about 4 to 7 items simultaneously, while the second builds automatic responses through consistent practice. When these systems work together harmoniously, learning becomes not just possible, but powerful. Our brains process information through two distinct systems. The declarative pathway, conscious and explicit, uses working memory to direct information to the hippocampus and neocortex. The hippocampus creates indexing songs that strengthen relevant neural connections while weakening irrelevant ones. Without proper consolidation, information quickly vanishes, explaining why students understand material while studying but blank during tests. The procedural system operates unconsciously, processing information through the basal ganglia instead of working memory. This system learns sequences that become automatic through practice, like driving familiar routes or touch typing. While slower to develop, procedural learning eventually enables automatic execution with minimal conscious effort. The most powerful learning combines both systems. Reading demonstrates this perfectly. Letter recognition becomes automatic, procedural, while comprehension remains conscious, declarative. Effective learning requires both explanation and practice to build robust neural networks. Working memory functions like an octopus juggling information. Drop one ball and the performance collapses. This limited capacity explains why students might understand math problems with visible examples, yet struggle during tests without these supports. They're relying on working memory without transferring knowledge to long-term storage. Working memory capacity varies dramatically among same-age students. In a classroom of 7 to 8-year-olds, some children function with the working memory of 4-year-olds, while others operate near adult levels. This isn't about intelligence, but neural architecture. Students with limited capacity often appear careless when actually experiencing cognitive overload. These insights transform educational approaches. The goal isn't changing working memory capacity, which remains stable, but increasing knowledge in long-term memory. Background knowledge effectively extends working memory for specific topics, explaining why we process complex sentences in our native language but struggle with simple phrases in unfamiliar ones. Chess masters recall complex board positions by seeing meaningful patterns, just as experienced readers process entire phrases while beginners decode letter by letter. Some students have race car brains that quickly grasp concepts, while others have hiker brains that process information more deliberately, but often with deeper understanding. Contrary to popular belief, faster learning isn't necessarily better. It can sometimes become a disadvantage. Nobel Prize winner Santiago Ramón y Cajal exemplifies this. Despite being a slow learner with poor working memory and behavioral problems in school, his methodical thinking allowed him to adjust theories based on evidence, while geniuses often rationalized mistakes to protect their egos. His careful observation led to breakthroughs others missed. Race car students often become the worst procrastinators because early academic success came easily, reinforcing poor study habits. When material complexity increases, they experience dramatic performance declines, having never developed effective study strategies. Meanwhile, hiker students can excel by building extensive neural networks in long-term memory that handle processing loads that would overwhelm working memory. However, they need more practice time, making procrastination particularly harmful to their learning. Neither approach is inherently superior. Each brings unique strengths that benefit from varied teaching methods and assessments. Humans naturally excel at biologically primary material, abilities our species evolved over millions of years. Babies effortlessly recognize faces, absorb language, and develop intuitive physics. Toddlers master complex grammar without formal instruction because these skills are evolutionarily hardwired. Conversely, biologically secondary material includes skills our species hasn't evolved to learn naturally: reading, mathematics, and scientific thinking. These culturally transmitted skills emerged within the last 5,000 years, too recent for evolutionary adaptation. The challenge isn't about individual capability, but the fundamental difference from our evolved abilities. To learn these hard skills, our brains repurpose neural circuits developed for other functions. Letters occupy the brain region that normally detects objects, while number representations use the area that codes for quantity. This neural recycling occurs consistently across cultures, showing the brain's plasticity has limits. This explains why direct instruction becomes increasingly important as material complexity increases. For challenging subjects, interleaving, mixing practice types, and spaced repetition, distributing practice over time, prove particularly effective. These techniques initially feel harder, but create desirable difficulty, struggle that strengthens learning in ways comfortable practice cannot. Students often deceive themselves about their learning progress. With books open, they believe they've mastered material when it's merely held in working memory. During tests, they discover little has transferred to long-term memory, leading to poor performance. This explains struggles like Katina's, keeping her finger on example algebra solutions, and Jared's, reviewing Spanish vocabulary lists without practice. Both rely on working memory without building long-term storage. The solution is retrieval practice. Looking away from materials and recalling key information builds stronger neural links in long-term memory. Research consistently shows this technique outperforms rereading, highlighting, or concept mapping. When students practice retrieval, neurons form connections as axons reach toward dendritic spines on neighboring neurons. With 86 billion neurons available, even struggling students have abundant resources for learning. Learning follows a learn-it, link-it pattern. Neurons that fire together, wire together. Initial exposure starts connections, practice strengthens them into proficiency, and application in varied contexts creates richer understanding. Brief brain breaks during teaching allow the hippocampus to transfer new learning to the neocortex. While sleep provides 8 hours of consolidation, even short breaks throughout the day help prepare memories for long-term storage, similar to saving a document from RAM to a hard drive. Research shows 15-minute rest periods after learning enhance memory retention by up to 30% compared to continuous study. Even microbreaks of 20-40 seconds aid consolidation. Students can typically focus for about their age plus 1 minute before needing a break. This explains teaching's dual requirements, making minds work hard through retrieval practice while allowing rest for consolidation. The solution? Approach teaching like athletic coaching, alternate between intense mental workouts and recovery periods, similar to interval training. Physical exercise particularly enhances learning by producing BDNF, Miracle-Gro for the brain, forming new dendritic spines, promoting neurogenesis, and buffering against stress-related cognitive impairments. Eliminating recess for more instruction is counterproductive. Schools implementing movement breaks between lessons report fewer behavioral issues and improved academic performance. Our brains evolved for movement, not sitting still for hours.